Our scripture reading this morning is the same scripture reading we had last week as we continue our Christmas story from John chapter 3, John 3, 16 to 21, the light having come into the world. Our scripture text this morning reads this way: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. May God illuminate our hearts with this truth from his word this morning. Thank you. In Genesis, as Moses recounts God's first words to us, we learn that in the beginning of time, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And in the New Testament, John recounts for us that in the beginning was the Word, and in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And John said, "The light shines in the darkness," but the darkness did not understand it. And we learn in the second chapter of Luke, the familiar Christmas story there, that the first people to learn of the birth of that light were the shepherds on the hillside outside of Jerusalem. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, the light of God himself. And they were terrified. And how frightening an experience would be in the brightness of the presence of God in this world, although there will be a day when we'll stand in the presence of that light. We learn also in Luke that there was a righteous man in the temple whose name was Simeon. And Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And then we learn from John in chapter 3 that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness. Darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. This past week, Bethany was in class, the end of the semester. It's a class run by a professor who has taught for many years and has strong opinions regarding religion, directed mostly at Christians. Her view is that Christians are weak-minded and unable to think for themselves, and she is public about that in class. Well, this past week, the professor started a rant about Chick-fil-A and Truett Cathy, the owner and founder of Chick-fil-A. You remember his comments some months ago, and how bigoted the ownership is toward those who do not share their Christian beliefs. Now, Bethany worked for Chick-fil-A. She started working there at age 15, and she quickly worked her way up to store manager in a few locations. And so Bethany raised her hand and spoke up defending the fair hiring practices of the corporation, and that Cathy was simply voicing his personal views about what the Bible said concerning marriage. And to this, the professor thanked Bethany for setting her straight, which I thought was a bold move on the professor's part, but it once again put Bethany right in the crosshairs of the enemy of God. She lives a block from campus, just a few blocks from her music building. God provided a wonderful location for her, just a block from the campus, so she lives just outside the gates of darkness, if you will, in a very liberal and secular university in Florida. But she knew that before she started there. She went from a Christian school as a child, and homeschooling experience, growing up, and then into a Christian university for 4 years, and then 2 years in China, where she was surrounded by Christians as she taught English there in a couple of universities. But she was unabashed in China, as she taught in class and spoke of her faith and invited students over to her apartment to hear about Christ. And now she's speaking up for what she believes at her present university. She's right outside the gates of hell and shining God's light as a lighthouse, warning of the dangers of living in that darkness. C.T. Studd, that first missionary to go into the heart of Africa over 100 years ago, said, "Some want to live within the sound of church and chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Well, as we learned last Sunday, that darkness is not interested in just ignoring the light. It wars against the light. So right after class, one of the girls in Bethany's class wrote on her Facebook, she befriended Bethany, and so they see what they write on each other's Facebook. This girl wrote on her Facebook a comment about Bethany, although she didn't name her by name, and Bethany's remarks in class that morning. And here's what the classmate wrote. LOL. How many of you don't know what that is? Probably a few of you. Some of you raise hand. You're bold. Thank you. LOL. Laugh out loud. LOL at the super conservatives, she meant were Christians, who get mad when they chose to be in a field that is obviously largely liberal. Well, music therapy doesn't strike me as a field that needs to be largely liberal, but in this girl's mind it was. And then she says, duh, what did you expect? Same applies for the converse. Be aware of your surroundings, people. End of quote. Well, Bethany is precisely aware of her surroundings. And in contrast, shamefully, I spent 5 years in a secular university here in Pennsylvania, some years back now, and no one would have accused me of being a Christian. Bethany's response to this classmate was to put on her book, Facebook, Bethany's Facebook, this, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. To which this girl wrote back, I like that. You see, the Christmas story is God Himself being born of a virgin, growing into the stature of a man, proclaiming salvation through Himself, the Son of God, and willingly suffering for a world living in darkness. This is the verdict, our scripture says. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus who has come into the world? Jesse Waters, I don't know if you watch him, I get a kick out of him, who does this man on the street interviews for Fox News Channel. He was outside a week or so ago of Rockefeller Plaza interviewing people about who Jesus was and where he was born. One woman said he was born in Bethlehem. She seemed to have gotten it right. And he asked her, where is Bethlehem? And she said, Pennsylvania. Another said he was just a really nice guy. The darkness loves the dark. You see, many will confess him a good man, a great teacher, a perfect example, and all that is true, but all this confession falls below the point required for salvation. Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus in the dark of night, had owned some of that opinion. And so that Jesus here states the superiority of his person above all others. He's the only begotten of God. And when Paul speaks of himself and others as by nature dead in sins, does he mean by that that they ceased to be responsible and had moved to a point beyond any judgment by God? No, he testifies to their being dead regarding true feelings toward God. They now have true feelings toward God, but not as being relieved from responsibility. See, the opposite is actually true. In the two chief epistles which describe men as dead, the apostle speaks of their conduct as being exceedingly evil and drawing down God's wrath upon them. Ephesians 4, 17 and 19 through 19 reads, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continued lust for more." Does it sound like our world today? And Colossians, the other book that speaks of the dead, Colossians 2:18 reads, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you from the prize." He means that reward in the life to come, in that thousand-year reign in the coming kingdom. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Colossians 2:18 speaks of the death in sin. But chapter 3, verse 6, speaks of God's just judgment upon the fall on sinners because of their activity of disobedience. You see, to God and to good, they are dead. But to evil, they are alive. And for this life of evil and for this deadness to God's calls, they will be judged and condemned. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And family, the just, the all-sufficient ground of that final condemnation of those who have heard the gospel will be that when the light and darkness were both presented to them, both light and darkness presented, they accepted the darkness and they refused the light. That speaks of an evil will. The whole man is evil. And family, when the gospel is neglected or rejected, there's a second condemnation. And the light here is not light in general, as we know light. It's Christ, the personal light of whom John had spoken in the opening of his gospel. The light has come into the world, he says. And Jesus is also referring to Nicodemus's words, "We know that thou hast come as a teacher sent from God." Christ then is here offered to us as coming, not into Palestine alone for the Jew, but into the world, into the world. But though the work of Christ is open to all of the world, yet the results which might have been anticipated from such a salvation that's offered, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And at this point then, we're introduced to the forces that hinder and prevent this universal salvation being the result. You see, man is tested by Christ's coming. And his evil heart is now far more evident than by Israel's disobedience to the law that was given of God. Now, in this church age, in the age that we live currently, it's seen that man will not accept a salvation on his own. And that's made ready to be received by man. He rejects it. And when Israel refused this salvation, it might be thought that it was because of something peculiar in them, the Jewish people, the hardening of their heart, always seeing but never seeing, hearing but not hearing. And it was due to their self-righteousness as a nation. But when this salvation is offered to Gentiles, They're still resistant to it. None but the elect accept it. And in short, the root of the refusal lies in the very heart of man. The will of fallen man is against it. He does not love the light, but instead he loves the darkness. Now, this next point is very important to grasp, I think. Man's quarrel against those former messengers of God, John the Baptist, the prophets before him, sent to him, lay not in the evil that was in them, but against the good. It wasn't simply because of the evil that resided in them, but it was a hatred for the light, a hatred for the good. Think of it, Christ came as light itself, and in him was no imperfection, either in the statement of his message, the message that he brought, or in the conduct of the messenger himself. But he nevertheless was more hated and worse treated than any previous messenger of God. And here, family, we find that the evil of our day is seen in this, that evil is chosen. Evil is chosen in spite of the increase of scriptural light. And why are the masses slipping away? Why are they slipping away? Why will they not come to church? Because their deeds are evil. Because they have chosen the world and Satan, and they mean to live in the lust of their heart. And the refusal of the perfect one of man shows that man, such as he is irreclaimable. He has been tried in the Garden of Eden without law. And then under law, he's tried again. And afterwards, under the grace of Christ. And in all of these trials, his evil has displayed itself more and more. And when it's a question between Christ and a demon, man prefers the demon. Jesus or Barabbas, which will ye? Scripture asks. Not this man, but demon's son, Barabbas. And when Jesus ejects the demons from those devil-possessed of Gadara, although he had cleared the road to the lake infested by these pests around him and had healed their countrymen, those in that country take the side of Satan. They ask Jesus to leave their coast. And when Paul casts out the evil spirit from the fortune-telling girl at Philippi, the whole city takes the devil's side. The spirit light of Christ does not scatter the spiritual darkness as surely and as necessarily as the physical light scatters physical darkness. The spiritual light shines in the darkness, but the darkness will not accept it and wars against it. But it was the same in the Garden of Eden. The guilty pair sought to hide themselves from the light because they knew that their evil deed would condemn them. And family, this Christmas is no different from any Christmas past. The darkness still hates the light. It still reacts aggressively toward it. And so how are our works to be done? In God. In Christ. We're to spread the light. Give the light of life this Christmas. And remember, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And if you're on the right ground, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. May God bless his own word to us this morning. Let's pray. Father God, as we have looked into your word, now convict us with its truth. Give us the boldness to go forth from this building, knowing that we are filled with this light, with this truth, empowered by you. and knowing that the world will hate us because of this message, but help us, Lord, to spread that light. Knowing that many are called, but few receive, help us to be faithful, Lord, and to spread that call to everyone who will listen. And then we ask that you do your work, Lord, as you promised to do, and choose those whom you will. But help us, Lord, to be faithful this Christmas and with each day that you give us, whether that call is here at home as a special calling to stay or as a calling to go forth in this world to spread that light in other nations and places where that light has not even been shown before. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and bold. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.